This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Tech, show number 160, recorded on March 27th, 2014. Here at Home Tech, we cover all your favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in Bellevue, Nebraska, and we post the show, of course, with world-class show notes. Hopefully, you've been going out and looking at those. I do spend a bit of time on the show notes each week out at TheAverageGuy.tv. If you have questions, comments, or contributions, you can contact the show, send me an email. Jim at TheAverageGuy.tv. You can find me on Twitter at Jay Collison, and a lot of Twitter traffic from me over the last couple weeks if you've been following me. I've been getting involved in some Twitter chat, so sorry if I spammed you. I apologize. And now you can call those questions in as well if you've got questions or comments for the show. Give us a call, 402-478-8450. That'll go to my Google Voice line. Leave a message. We'll play it right here on the program and get those questions answered for you. And now Home Tech is a part of the Geeks Network. Find the links to this show, many other pretty good podcasts, pretty great podcasts coming out on the Geeks Network. That is just thegeeksnetwork.com. You can join us in chat, watch, or listen to the show live, and find now all the navigation for the page on the upper right-hand corner of theaverageguy.tv. All right, well, we've been talking about this show for the last couple weeks, and we have Eric Warnke from Mover.io here. Eric, great to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me, Ken.
You bet. Let's jump right in. Mover.io is not new to our community. We've spent quite a bit of time. If you go to theaverageguy.tv and in search bar, just type Mover.io. We've talked about it several times. One of the guys that follows the show out of Brisbane, Rennie Phipps, he brought that into a podcast one week, and I was like, wow, this is kind of interesting, and gave it a try. Why don't you give us a little bit of your background first? I'd like to know a little bit about you, and then let's just dive into the company.
Sure, I'll try and keep it concise. I tend to ramble on sometimes.
It's all family here, so you're fine.
Sure. So we started Mover just over 2 years ago. Our initial problem was we were trying to back up some websites into Dropbox. That was simply the best place to put it at the time. They do versioning, and it's the cloud, and all of our stuff was there, and we didn't want to have to deal with the backups ourselves. We had so many websites because throughout just my life, I've done some web consulting, historically at least, and we had literally 100 domain names that, due to stupidity, we just simply never backed up. So we wanted to make this connection between the two services, and it simply didn't exist. Through all my efforts Googling and searching for a product, there was nothing that I could set up that didn't require me to install something. And that was a barrier that I felt I could, you know, of course I could figure that out, but I shouldn't have to. So we decided to form this MVP product. We were reading The Lean Startup by Eric Ries at the time, and so inspired, and you know, we were working on a different startup as well, so we said, well, we can't be distracted, let's just put up a splash page and see what happens, see if anybody actually signs up. So this was like October 2011, I think, and we spammed out the link a little bit on the Dropbox forum, said, hey, you know, all these threads mentioning FTP, we're actually building something, sign up. And by January, we had about 700 users actually said that they're interested in paying for it / using it in some capacity. And so myself and my co-founder, Mark Fossen, we said to ourselves, well, this is a lot more interesting than the current startup we were working on. And that startup was dealing with wireless hardware. We helped cafes and restaurants have better wireless hotspots. So we built a prototype for Mover at a hackathon, actually, here in Edmonton. And that was sort of my excuse to make sure we got it done in a confined amount of time and didn't drag it on. And we released it, and people started signing up. You know, it was kind of neat to hit 1,000 users. And we said, this is really interesting. Let's just shelve our other startup. And we decided to run with Mover. At the time, it was actually called Backup Box. because that was the initial intent of the product. But we quickly realized our potential and started adding other services, rebranded as Mover. We went through a startup accelerator out in Vancouver. And then ultimately ended up raising some money to try and build a proper company out of it. And right now the moon is our goal. So
how many employees do you have working on the startup?
We have 11, and hopefully another one starting next week.
So. Oh, very good. So from that standpoint, quite a bit of work to do as far as it adding improvements, new features, functionality, those kinds of things.
Absolutely. So a lot of it has been streamlining our interface and a lot of infrastructure work. The paradigm that Mover currently has, which is a source and a destination and some options in the middle, that existed from day one. It's gotten a lot smoother and a lot more interesting to use, but the general idea of just A to B has been around since day one. We've kind of bounced between different pricing plans, and the team here is working hard to actually release some new ones in the future.
So let's back up just a smidge. I mean, basically, in short, it's taking one cloud service, moving it to another cloud service, and it never touches you, right? It doesn't have to route through you. That has always been the hang-up of a lot of these things, is you could kind of jury-rig this in your own with your own internet connection, bring it to you, move it back up. But this like totally doesn't hit me at all, right?
Yeah, that was the entire intent. In fact, I'm sure your viewer from Australia found us because in Australia, the ISPs there are notoriously bad about data caps and squeezing a dollar out of you for every extra gigabyte. So we actually have a lot of Australian users who use our product because they keep a lot of their data in these cloud storage providers without ever actually syncing tons down to their homes because it costs too much. So for us, it's simply connecting the dots in the cloud without having to route anything locally.
Let's talk a little bit about the services then that you attach to. Which ones? I know we talk about, I talked about Copy earlier, of course, Dropbox, Box. What are some of the other ones that you have connectivity to?
Sure. So we support a lot of traditional services, so FTP, SFTP, WebDAV connections, Amazon, S3 buckets we support, and through them, Glacier. We also support OpenStack. Right now, it's just implemented as Rackspace Cloud Files, but that cloud storage is something that we can also work with. Along with traditional stuff, we also support SharePoint, which is pretty tricky to work with and all.
Really?
So we support 2007, 2010 through WebDAV, and 2013 we support SkyDrive Pro, or now OneDrive for Business, I guess it is. We also support some other ones out there, like SmugMug we made to see if Photo would be popular, which we know it is, but it's decidedly a consumer level thing right now. We also support SugarSync, and there's about 20 of them. We have a couple white labeled ones as well, like Media Temple.
And that can be with those services. That can be from and to on both ends, right? If you want to, I could take it. There isn't any of those that's just one way where it'll only take files in, or you can only take files out. They're both ways.
For everyone except for MySQL, for that one, we can take a dump of the database and just transfer it to wherever as a single file. So Mark actually created that one as a bit of an experiment. But we have grand aspirations of saying, like, well, maybe one day we can translate databases between different types. But that is
that's
just back in our mind right now.
Yeah, a little out of scope at the moment, maybe, that done. As you've looked at your average customer, and certainly you probably get a chance to see what people are doing, I mean, what's the majority of your customers? What are they doing? And what kind of transfers are being made? Or what's your average use case, so to speak?
Yeah, so from what we can tell, it's about 50% one-time migrations and 50% recurring backups. So for businesses. You know, we talk to businesses more than we do consumers at the end of the day. And we find that people sort of have three different things they're trying to accomplish. Well, I guess technically four, but they're trying to get into the cloud for the very first time. Whether it's personally or on an organizational level, they have some old on-prem server that has 2 terabytes of data that is a major project to actually get it into something like Box or Ignite or whatever. Sometimes people are already in the cloud and they've decided that, you know, for whatever internal reasoning, they want to jump ship to another provider. And it's not exactly locked in, but it's not exactly convenient to get that data out and back to the other provider. So we can help connecting two clouds. People often, whether for internal policy reasons or government regulations, they need to have backups of their services. Sometimes it's playing just security for your personal files as well. So the cloud is great and it's all stored in duplicates and extra redundant and whatnot, but sometimes it's simply not enough. People want to have a hard copy of that in cold storage or offline or something in case, you know, Amazon gets hit by a meteor. So we can help people get data out of the cloud and back onto an on-prem server. And then lastly, I guess sometimes people just want to do an ongoing push between two systems. They might have a marketing team in one city that uses SharePoint and another team in another city that uses Box because they're the sales guys out with their iPads, and they need to get on the same page so we can help do ongoing transfers from one to the other.
Do you run any problems internationally with the transfers, moving things? Do you guys have any problems with moving that data across the borders? Or, you know, I know sometimes that's sensitive. Do you run into those issues?
No, nobody has really had a concern with that. Right now, our infrastructure actually lives mainly in Amazon's servers, and I believe they're on the West Coast for us. Depending on the connector, though, we do route traffic differently. So if you're doing a transfer into Rackspace, it runs on Rackspace's infrastructure. If you're doing a SharePoint service, I believe it runs in the Azure cloud. If you're going into Copy's data centers, Copy's data centers actually run the transfer. So we have mover infrastructure in multiple places. And that helps drive costs and speed and whatnot. I actually think GreenCloud, which is a sort of an Amazon competitor based in Iceland, they basically cloned all the Amazon APIs, so they're a drop-in replacement for that. I believe that all those transfers actually happen in Iceland with mover infrastructure. Mm. So it's if you're super paranoid, you could potentially run it through GreenCloud, but most data ultimately transits through the U.S.
Through the U.S. I know we talk about at Gallup, we talk a lot about data security all the time, and there are some countries, we're global, and there's some countries that want data to stay in and not route through the United States or vice versa, right? We want to keep the data in the U.S., so that's always an interesting proposition. Ken asks out in chat, is Simplicity one of your connectors?
Simplicity, not yet. Okay. Definitely aware of them, though. They're on the list of 10 or dozens of connectors yeah. that people want us to add.
Maybe hundreds. You know, there was a time when hosted cloud data providers were popping up like crazy, and then there was a little bit of a war on cloud data, you know, where they were giving this away for free and that away for free, and now Google has upped the ante again with a terabyte of storage available in their space. And so there's lots of, there's availability for cloud storage and places to put it. You guys chose not to necessarily be storage, right? There's nothing, I can't store any of my data on your servers, is that right?
That's right. You know, maybe sometime down the road, we've kind of toyed with the idea of potentially offering some sort of mover vault where you can simply just put data in and out of it. But it's not, there's no current plans for that. All these other providers, whether they're cloud storage or backup, they do a really good job, and we do a really good job of transport. So,
hey, what are the challenges with that? Because, you know, you just mentioned using Rackspace infrastructure, using Azure infrastructure, using Amazon infrastructure. What are the real challenges for you guys to make those connections, and how on earth do you guys figure out how to get that stuff paid for? I mean, there's got to just be tons of different things happening, and that, it's got to be difficult to figure out.
Yeah, so, you know, and if possible, we use their APIs. So most of these services, they actually offer pretty well fleshed out APIs for developers to build tools like this. And they're usually well documented. The calls are fairly similar, so our developers are able to distill, you know, there's very similar actions, right? You have to get a file, you have to put a file, you have to list files, et cetera. The real complexities come when you're dealing with old technology, so WebDAV, SharePoint, FTP servers, et cetera, because they're all configured just slightly differently than each other, and with lots of different users, they often have problems because, like, they change one tiny little thing and it doesn't work, so we have to always keep on our toes for that. One of the biggest challenges is probably when these cloud storage providers don't let us transfer data as fast as we want. So they have internal throttling for all of their API developers saying you can only move so much data so quickly. And this is, of course, because their infrastructure is many times larger than Mover at this point, and they have some of them have hundreds of thousands of developers actually creating apps and doing millions and millions of API calls in all the time. And sometimes there's a company like Mover that comes along and says, well, I want to move 10 million files overnight, and we're on Amazon, so we just have to spin it up and say go. And the reality is we could actually take down some of these providers if we were allowed to do that. So one of our benefits, though, is we get to have good relationship with them, so we can actually ask for increased limits when a customer comes along and says, I'm on a deadline. And some of them were actually in the top 10 users of their APIs, which is nice.
So in my scenario, so the way I use it, I've got an FTP server for my web server, and I'm backing that up, and then I'm grabbing that backup file on a weekly basis. And let me quick bring up, maybe you can talk through this a little bit. So it's completely web-based, right? No, I don't have to install any software anywhere to make this work?
Nope, unless you're trying to connect to something local, in which case we unfortunately have to say, well, if you had an FTP server on your computer, we could connect directly to that. That kind of thing we're trying to overcome. So there are future plans for actually creating a desktop connector so that users who don't really understand the complexities of their own firewalls and whatnot would be able to say, you know, just put this file on my desktop. I don't want to think about it.
Right. Okay. And so in this case, with the FTP connection, I was able to make that fairly easily, fairly successfully. Grabs that, and it just moves it over to, and I pick copy, because at the time, we'll talk about licensing and the costs on this here in just a little bit, but I picked copy because you guys have a relationship with copy.com. If I move it onto there, there's no transfer charge for me at this point in time. And yep. So I can move that backup file over. And then, so here's the schedule. It's active. I could turn that on and off. I'm showing folks here. You can just turn that schedule on and off if you want. Pretty simple. Pretty easy to do. Right now, the setting is I get 10 total gig of transfer over the lifetime of my account. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a one-time credit.
And then we'll hold on that for a second because I want to get to this. And then here's the activity that's going on here. And let me scroll through. Let's see, this is in January. Oh, so actually it does look like maybe, you know, I was mentioned before, I was looking at copy.com and it looked like I hadn't had a file moved since maybe late in January. And if I look at the logs, it does tell me that file, no files moved. So something, it looks like, probably has broken on my FTP side where that new file hasn't shown up on a weekly basis. So my backup's probably broken. I'm gonna guess maybe.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, we basically have to roll over every single file and look at the timestamps and say, is there anything new? So this looks, I mean, because it's green, it's basically saying we didn't find anything new to move for you. So it could be that nothing's changed, or as you said, maybe that file that you're expecting to show up hasn't shown up.
Yeah, but some pretty good reporting on that. That kind of allows me to kind of troubleshoot it at this point. And I'm using a WordPress theme to do my backup, and they're all terrible on WordPress. The backup, it seems like the backup plugins are not always the greatest. So this is good. It'll troubleshoot me. And I probably, if I read the email that you guys sent me when I was done, it probably said something like, no files moved. And if I read it each week, you know, I got the email, I'm like, oh, good to go, it's done. It probably says that in the email, I would imagine.
Yeah, so the fact that it is the state that it is probably, the technical error code is probably 101, so like it's a success because we think that we did everything right, and no files moved is still a success. Your email probably does relate that.
Yeah.
It should say, this was a success, but we found nothing to move.
So. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I'd imagine that's in there. I remember going back and look at that. That's one of those human error things where you're like, oh, you know, Jim, you actually do have to read the email. It won't do it for you. Ken out in chat, he asks, we're all geeks and we like numbers. Sounds like Mover.io moves a lot of data. How much do you guys move per week or day or month? And how many users do you currently have?
Yeah, so we've got about 115,000 registered accounts. And every month, I believe this month we're actually about to move 2 billion files. Actually, I should correct myself. We're going to process 2 billion files. And that's sort of the vanity metric that we have on the homepage. Every single day, we do about 30,000 transfers. So a transfer may move one file. It may move, you know, it might show it up and say we didn't move anything. But we still did work on those files, and we had to look at them. And one transfer could move a million files. But we do 30,000 unique transaction IDs every day.
That's a lot of files.
Yeah, it's not enough. Dropbox says that they add 1 billion objects into Amazon S3 every single day.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so it's a target-rich environment for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very good. Let's talk about pricing a little bit. There is a model currently out there that you guys cover. So 10, if you want to try it out, you can move 10 gig of whatever from wherever to whatever for free to get things started. Do you want to? We mentioned in the pre-call a little bit. You've got some new stuff, some new pricing coming. How do you want to handle this? If someone wanted to get involved in this, what should they know?
Sure. So currently, our model. Is this pay-as-you-go system where it's based on credit, kind of like prepaying a cell phone. You just add credit to your account and you can chip away at it as you want. We're finding that to sort of evolve the company and support ourselves, we need to keep experimenting and iterating on that pricing model. And so next week, our plans are to actually introduce subscription plans. So we're not going to do away with the pay-as-you-go model, but it's going to be shaped so that it services people who just need it for one-time use. So if you're looking to do a migration, you really don't need schedules. You just need to buy 10 or 50 gigs or whatnot and run a transfer or two. And if you're looking to do recurring backups, we're going to provide some tiered plans that give you a certain number of gigabytes per month, a certain number of schedules. And if you're a business, we'll give you a certain number of users. So we have certain connectors like Google Drive and Box where we can actually show you the users in your account, and we can help you map them between them. So those are the new plans that are going to be coming, and hopefully soft launch Tuesday if we hit our targets.
Oh, good, good. We'll watch for the website on that pricing. So for a guy like me moving just a little bit of data, maybe four times a month, give me an idea. What do you think that would cost me if I wanted to have you guys do it?
So for what I saw of your account, you can probably remain free for that. Because okay. WordPress, I mean, in general, your WordPress site's going to be
super small.
100 megs maybe, way, way less. Most websites are like 5 megs. And you get one schedule is what we're going to be offering free accounts, which is what you have, and that should work.
Oh, okay. So one schedule, it'll be fine.
It'll be fine. Yeah, one schedule. You can use it personally. You can try it out, and we also enable you to get more data if you want. So we have something called Tweet for Credit that we are like just in the interface there. You can sort of help promote us, and we give you an extra 2 gigs, and with things like the World Backup Day. Promotion, which I'm sure you were going to bring up, we'll give you another 15 gigs.
Go ahead and mention that. So World Backup Day is coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
And that's just free for anybody at this point. All I have to do is sign up for it, and I get 15 more gigs?
Yeah, so what we ask of our users is if you help promote us, just like send out a tweet or a Facebook post linking to the fact that we're helping people back up for free, we'll give you another 15 gigabytes to your account. So before next week, you could potentially get 25 gigs with a new account if you help us promote ourselves a little bit.
Oh,
so
very good.
And that should be fairly good for most people's personal backups for quite a while.
Yeah. Now, you say most people. The crowd that runs in this community, we're all home server guys, right? We put terabytes of storage in our home, and we're proud of it. And so maybe some of the listeners, but I know the home server guys are like, oh, man, 20 gig, whatever. You know, blow through that in an afternoon. So it's just kind of funny. This crowd is maybe a little bit different than most, but I totally get where you're going. Ken jokingly says, what is the coupon code Home Tech Podcast get them? So he just wants to know if he puts that in.
If you email me at eric@mover.io, I'll toss you five gigs.
Oh, well, there you go. Very good. And then OwnCloud, is OwnCloud one of those that you support as well?
I believe we support them through WebDAV. Okay. I had talked to their CEO at one point and signed up for one of their accounts and actually tested it, so I believe it works. But I don't know of anyone who's actually come and used it with us.
Yeah, Drashna says I need 3x4 terabyte drives to finish duplication of my video. So that just gives you a little idea of some of the craziness that goes in our community. You know, the Norco, I don't know if you're a hardware geek at all, but there's a Norco 420 box that has 20 drive slots in it that some of the guys back in the day purchased. I'm seeing a lot less dependency on, you know, we're just seeing a lot less here and a lot more moving to the cloud now, of course. A couple years ago, people were pretty skeptical. It is difficult. That's the one thing, UK, Australia, some of those areas where there are bandwidth limits. For the individual consumer, it gets more and more difficult to do that, of course, because, you know, this podcast is U.S.-based, and we're all, you know, most of us here in the U.S., it's like running water. You know, bandwidth. It's like, whatever for the most part. Yeah. But that is an interesting consideration. And one thing that we have to think about all the time is, okay, when does it make sense to have you guys move it, and when would it make sense for us to move it from that scenario? Are there any competitors in your space at all at this point, or are you guys pretty much it doing this?
There's a couple. We have a couple copycats, actually, which is flattering, but... we're not too worried about them.
Any Chinese knockoffs yet? No.
There's one from Egypt.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. The kind of people that we're actually in most competition with, there's probably three ones. And interestingly enough, our biggest competitors are IT guys who simply say, I'm going to do it myself. So when someone wants to solve this problem internally, they say, oh, we have more time than money, so we're going to just, you know, spend 2 weeks and figure this out. That's one of our biggest competitors, but there's also some software out there that you can actually download and install on your own servers if you need to move, you know, terabytes of data locally. That might be the right solution for you. The biggest benefit we provide is you don't have to babysit your transfers. We do that for you. If you're running anything locally, if that crashes, if something happens to it, you have to resume it, and man hours just get eaten up with that local stuff. So there are some competitors out there, but for as far as I know, we're the only one that actually focuses on mass transport between clouds. There's a couple out there that do syncing, like Cloud HQ, or file organization, like Otixo or PrimaDesk, and they're just trying to be like a global explorer for all your clouds. So we're trying to remain focused just on transport.
Just on getting it moved. Not versioning, not storing it, just getting it moved.
Yeah, from right now, at least.
Yeah, well, for sure. Yeah, there's always additional options. When you're moving it from a security standpoint, I assume there's some kind of encryption that's happening as it's moving across.
Absolutely. So if the connector supports it, we use the highest level encryption they offer. Typically, it's SSL. Everything that we do has several layers of encryption on our servers, and no one person really has easy access to it. when a file actually transits, it has to hit our servers temporarily while it's moving because we have to actually upload it again somewhere else. As soon as that happens, we delete it, and it's overwritten immediately by the next however many million files that are coming behind it. So in terms of security, we never keep anything, and it's well overwritten really quickly.
It gets washed over. If you think about some rocks and a river, it gets a lot of files that rush over those rocks on any given day. Yeah.
Some companies actually are really concerned, and so we offer them the ability to say, well, we can have a custom instance that just runs your transfers if you're paranoid and don't really want to have the random potential of files intermingling, but normally that's not a concern.
Yeah, it's a needle in a needle stack, right? I mean, from that standpoint, trying to track that stuff down. It's like, okay, good luck, have fun trying to find that file. It's going to be buried amongst a bunch. I'm looking at your, if you go over to, and you mentioned this earlier, but if you go to mover.io, right on the front page is the number of files. It says files and counting, 8.106726. No, oh, it just changed. So you've got a lot of stuff. And I assume that little counter, is that something, is it a little bit behind, or is that real time? And how the heck do you get that? How do you count that?
So that's a little bit behind. The actual JavaScript magic behind it is we took a point in the past, so that's probably a month old, and we said how many files have we moved a month ago and how fast were we moving them, and then it just does the calculation of like where should we be now. Every time we update it, it's a little bit faster. It's a little bit farther ahead because our velocity keeps accelerating. But it's pretty accurate. It's probably within a couple hundred million behind of where it should be.
So, and just a reminder on those connectors. So I brought up the page. You mentioned GreenCloud, Yandex.
Yeah. So
I haven't heard of them before.
Yandex is like the Russian Google.
Okay.
They run a search engine in Russia, and they also offer online storage and email and whatnot. So we support them, and I mean, they get a fair bit of usage. I don't think they really are visible on the pie chart, but it's not insignificant.
It'll be big someday, right? Maybe.
Yeah.
You mentioned Office 365. Well, you mentioned SharePoint. You didn't talk about Office 365, but that's just an extension of it, right?
Yeah. So I mean, SharePoint 2013, or rather SharePoint Online, is SharePoint 2013 in Office 365
hosted.
Yeah, and that has a SharePoint or a SkyDrive Pro component, which I guess is now called OneDrive for Business, and we support OneDrive for Business. So you can actually see all the different employees under your account there if you want. If you were an administrator, and you could migrate in or out.
Okay, Dropbox, Box, Google Drive, OneDrive, Copy. We talked WebDAV. You talked about that. Amazon S3, Rackspace, Ignite, MySQL. Drashna was asking about that earlier. MySQL, SugarSync, SmugMug, you mentioned that one as well, SFTP, DreamHost, Media Temple I haven't heard of before.
Yeah, Media Temple's they're a web hosting provider out of Los Angeles. So is DreamHost, I guess, in that vein. And sure. those are white-labeled connectors.
So what does that mean, white-labeled connector? What does that mean?
It's FTP, and we've just put a logo that says Media Temple on it.
Gotcha.
And specified their connection. So we're friends with them. That's why we did that. They actually sold to GoDaddy just a couple months ago. So, they're a quality host in my mind. Mover website and blog are all hosted on Media Temple.
Okay.
So very hopefully good. They don't go evil and just try and upsell.
Well, you know, my only problem with GoDaddy has been the amount that when you're trying to check out, just the amount of extra steps it takes to get done.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I like simplicity, and I'll pay a little bit more for that. I don't always have to have the cheapest. So that's been my only hang up with GoDaddy. They seem to have straightened out a little bit on their advertising too. So that's kind of nice. The last one is OpenStack. Is OpenStack also a white label, as you say?
So our implementation of OpenStack right now is confined to Rackspace, but if someone had an OpenStack requirement, I'm pretty sure we'd be able to help them out. OpenStack is this basically open source cloud infrastructure that a lot of companies have bought into, including Rackspace. And there's a lot of startups that are very, very sexy right now because they're doing OpenStack deployments, trying to create private clouds for businesses. And so we connect to the storage component of that, which is akin to Amazon's S3 storage.
Okay. And you're in Edmonton, Alberta, right, in Canada. Well, why up there? Was just everybody, is that where you lived and you decided you're just going to do it up there? Or is there an advantage to being in the Great White North?
Born and raised here. Okay. It's not a terrible place to live other than the weather. That's pretty much the only complaint. I mean, we got sometimes we have a good hockey team. Wayne Gretzky was here.
Mm-hmm.
So, flights out of here, too, are pretty good, going down to the valley about once a month and knocking out meetings and then coming back home. Talent here is also not as squeezed as down somewhere like Silicon Valley. So there's a lot of dev talent up here that's really, really good and willing to work with us. And in Canada, running a startup, you actually have a lot of benefits, like government tax credits for research and development, and they support you. So financially, there's a lot of good reasons to be in Canada.
That makes sense.
Plus, it's home. Like, it's where our families are.
Yeah, well, and I'm a Silicon Valley kid, so I grew up in the Bay Area. That's where I'm from. I moved out to Nebraska, 22 years ago to raise a family. I didn't want to raise my family in the Bay Area. It's a great place to visit. It's just crazy when you're there, right? I mean, even coming from Edmonton, that's just... So how often do you have to go to the Valley, or how often do you have to show up in California or San Francisco for what you do?
Probably about once a month for a week we're down there. We're partnered with a lot of these cloud storage providers, so... we like to go there and train their sales staff and figure out what's in their pipelines and how we can work closer together, and also seek out new partnerships and potentially add new people to our ecosystem.
So Gord said that Edmonton is groovy, dude. he must be one of your...
Gord's been here.
Must be. If you could, so from a challenge standpoint, if there's anything is there a huge challenge that you have, if you could just wipe out that challenge, what would that be? What are you facing right now that is just one of those things you wish would go away?
Oh, I don't know.
If you could magic wand it and make it go away, what would you wipe out? What would make it easier, better? What would make you, what are those things that would make it nice, better?
My bank account. I think
that's the challenge of any startup, right? I mean, it's making this thing pay.
Yeah, I think the reality is this whole industry is still really young. So one of the critical things that we have to be aware of is that we're still helping build it and actually accelerate the development of cloud storage. It's not as pervasive as things like the telephone. So companies like Twilio could go and create themselves very easily because it was a necessity that everybody had. I think that if every single person on the planet was using cloud storage, we'd have a lot more users already. But we're in a good position right now that we can actually cement ourselves as the best way to do things while it grows.
Yeah, so. No, right on. You're right. You're the first and one of the biggest, at least at this point, in that space, for sure. Just as you talk about that, so it's good to be on it. And I think you're right. From what we see with all our storage stuff, it's like I mentioned earlier in the program, it's getting more and more prevalent. People are getting more and more comfortable with it, and so I think you just have to give it some time, and hopefully that your capital will stay intact long enough to where you can start to make it a profit or whatever. However that works for you guys, however you're set up.
Yeah, no, we're pretty confident. I know Aaron Levy, the CEO of Box, he actually talks a lot about how every 5 or 10 years there's a fundamental shift in IT, and new things are introduced, like whether it's the fax machine or email or whatnot. And I think most people in this industry are confident that mobile computing and file sync share services like cloud storage is another one of these shifts that we are sort of on the cusp of. Like, it's just getting started. So it's pretty exciting times to be working in this industry.
Well, and don't you think, especially as you think about mobile, that we have more and more data being generated on devices that just don't don't and can't store it for long periods of time, right? The PC era, we had large, I mean, again, you're talking to some of us where we built these large storage, data at home. Those days are done, or they're numbered anyways, for the average consumer. So yeah. I'm creating these really nice videos or whatever with these phones, and they can't physically store it that long. I got to move it into the cloud, and then once it's there, you're always going to want to move that around, and I'm not going to bring it down to my phone so I can move it up somewhere else, right? So that's got to be a use case that you guys are looking at pretty closely.
Absolutely. So we've actually built some infrastructure already that will enable us to develop desktop and mobile applications to talk to Mover. Our first task in front of us that we want to do is create a desktop application so that anyone can just say, this is a folder on my desktop. I want to move files in or out of it with Mover. And this won't be competing with cloud storage, really, because we don't do storage. It's simply enabling your desktop to talk to us. And then a step farther from that is things like mobile apps. So there's no reason that your Android phone or Windows phone or maybe an iPhone, if it's allowed, would actually be able to show up as a file tree in Mover's infrastructure, and you can say, I just want to move files in or out of it, or between two different phones. So there's some really interesting things at the back of our minds that we're always thinking about and carefully watching where everything is going to go and when we need to start building those things.
Yeah. Well, and I'm even just thinking about, I take my pictures and they automatically, I'm an Android phone, so they automatically go to a Google Drive, but I really want those on my OneDrive because that's where I'm storing all my pictures right now. OneDrive, I think, is a better way to view them than it is on Google Drive. So on my phone, I just want to be able to say, okay, move these over now or set this to whenever this happens, go there. I just think with the PC days being numbered and everything going to either a tablet or a phone, I shouldn't say everything, and there will be some people. Every time I do this, I incite a riot in my community because we're all still PC users. But let's admit the average guy is really moving away from the PC for the most part. I mean, it's really going to the tablets and the phones. And so my guys are getting ready to lynch me out. They're like, no, the PCs are here forever. Well, maybe another decade or two. Eventually, I think we'll do something different. And nobody's buying new PCs anymore. So it's kind of interesting the direction that's going. Eric, I want to thank you for taking some time to be with us this evening. It's been a great interview. Anything else that I might have missed that you really want to advertise or that you want to cover?
I
covered it all.
I think we covered most of the bases. We talked about we're launching new pricing plans, how you can use Mover, what you get for free, World Backup Day.
Very cool.
Yeah. Thanks up. For being a gracious host.
Yeah, no, it's always great to talk to you. We had the folks from On Air Player last week, Daniel Volke from On Air Player. He's a San Francisco guy, and they're doing something different with the idea of being able to play your music. This is kind of different than you. His scenario is, I don't want to have to move anything. I want to just be able to play my music no matter where it's at. And so whether it's on your PC or on your phone or on your tablet or whatever, if he has access to it, he's going to play it. And so that was an interesting interview. I'm kind of enjoying this niche on our podcast. We've started to niche down a little bit with startups, and I like it. I like what you guys are bringing, some of the fresh thinking that you're bringing to this realm. And I'll ask you before I go, what phone do you carry? Everybody here is, we're all phone nerds. So iPhone, Android, or Windows phone?
Got a Nexus 5.
There you go. So you're a Google guy all the way.
Yeah, and in the last 2 years, I've used them all. I sold my iPhone 5 to buy a Nexus 4. And I think my theory, at least, is if you fully commit to one of the ecosystems, you're going to have a good time. So if you fully commit to Windows Phone and you use OneDrive and all Microsoft applications, that's great. You'll have a good time. If you commit to the Google ecosystem, same thing. And even Apple. But once you start trying to mix and match them, that's when things start to fall apart and you got to start hacking things together. So
it gets a little ugly.
Yeah, and internally at Mover, we're Google Apps users. Mm. And that works well with my Android phone. And that's just sort of where I landed. So,
from a development environment, have you standardized on a desktop, or what do you guys? What do most of the developers use for development PCs? Or
machines? They're mostly on Macs. I'm on a Windows 8.1 Dell laptop. I've been a Dell fanboy from day one, and one of our guys is running Ubuntu as well.
Yeah, same thing. A lot of our developers have moved onto the Mac just as a great development platform. But I'm a Windows guy. As a manager, I'll be honest with you, I could almost do my job on my phone. You know, with it's answering emails and handling communication, and so much of that has gotten so good on the phone that it's hard. That or a tablet. I carried a Surface for a while. That worked out real well for me. We had the Surface 2. And I eventually passed that down to my daughter, and she loves it. It's been a great, great little device for her as well. But that seems to be the story. There's a, especially among developers, there's a big shift over to Mac, and a lot of them are just developing that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a terrible operating system. I've used it as well as Windows. I think at the end of the day, you just use what you like, and Any real arguments are kind of pointless surrounding it.
It's kind of a moot point in a lot, especially for the developers, right? I'm sure for you guys, you're remoting into something, right? They're not doing the actual development on their desktop, or maybe they are, but they're committing the code into the servers. So it's not like they're actually doing that much on their laptops, right?
Well, we have something that we've called DevBox, which is a standardized basically environment that you download and run, and it includes all the packages and whatnot that you need to run a Mover clone on your local machine. And so our guys, they do their development on that, and then they commit their code up to GitHub. That's where we keep all of the repos. So there is actually a significant amount of work being done on the machines, but because it's a web application, it's not like crunching video, so it's not that intensive.
Hey, let me ask you one more question, because this is, I should ask all startup folks this. You've done a couple. If you were to give any advice to someone thinking about doing a startup, then what you've learned, you know, you're a seasoned, you sound and look like a very seasoned startup guy. What kind of advice would you give people?
I think the biggest piece of advice is that you have to fully commit to it. I know a lot of startups who are just toying on the side, and they're not as passionate as and invested as I would want them to be about their products. They still rely on their day jobs and whatnot. And don't get me wrong, like, everybody needs to survive. From day one, when I was out of university, actually when I was in university, I bought and ran an internet cafe, and my bank account has gone like this, like, for most of the years, and it's slowly creeping back up now that we're running a somewhat successful company. But the reality is that if you're going to start a business, it's going to be really, really hard, and most people just don't realize, like, the amount of time it's going to take to try and do something worth all the time. So I think most budding entrepreneurs, especially young ones, right, like people coming right out of university who have Mark Zuckerberg aspirations, there's a little bit of a comeuppance waiting for them a year or two down the road, I think, when they're going to realize exactly what they're trying to do. But if you stick with it and never ever give up, you're going to do well. So it's just a matter of tenacity and making sure that you don't give up.
Harder being the boss of yourself or the boss of other people?
I'd say the boss of myself. I think we've done a pretty good job here of hiring awesome people who don't really need a boss. So this is very much a meritocracy and a lot of self-direction, so we're a good team. I think the biggest thing is just remaining disciplined on a personal level so that you are working on the best things possible for the company at any given time, because it's very easy to get distracted with things that don't actually move the needle at that moment.
Yeah, and it's amazing when it's your money how those things become those priorities become very evident when it does move the needle and when it doesn't move the needle. You know, when you're working for somebody else, super easy to get distracted on something. Oh, this would be a great project. And you're like, you know, that's not really going to make us any money. I know, but it'd be a great project. And you're like, it's because it's not your money. And then, you know, you guys are all in it for the company ownership and for the success of that company. And so everything matters that way, right? And even the smallest changes can make a big difference. So very, very cool. Well, Eric, thanks again. Appreciate you doing that and coming and taking some time to do it. I know you've got a TV set that is $100 off here that we need to send you out to make sure. What are you picking up? What are you hoping to get?
So I bought a TV 2 weeks ago at Future Shop. It was this 50-inch TV, really like cheap brand. It's an Insignia one, but it's an awesome TV, and it was $500 at the time. I had a $100 gift card, so it was $400. And today is the last day where they actually dropped the price by another $100. So if I take my receipt back, this 50-inch TV will cost me about $325. So I got to get there before 9 o'clock. And I was hoping we could actually buy a couple for the office because they're pretty awesome, but they're all out of stock. It's too good of a deal.
Shoot. Yeah, well, I don't want to make you late. I know you got plenty of time, but don't want to make you late. Thanks again for taking the time to be a part of it. Mover.io, Eric Warnke, and Eric, thanks for taking the time. I'm sure we'll have some guys go out and take a peek at what you had mentioned, your email address. If folks have questions, is it okay to email you, or should
we? Yeah, they can email me directly, Eric with a C at mover.io. And I'd be happy to stick around and chat for 15 more minutes or so if anyone wants to hang out.
Well, let me ask them while we're doing this. Any more questions from chat?
That would be
great if you got some questions. They've done a nice job of throwing some questions in there as well. But if you have any more questions you'd like to ask Eric, that would be great. I think there's just a lot of great scenarios for this kind of service. To be able to, you know, take advantage of it, especially from a backup. Well, while I'm waiting for them to ask questions, let me do a little housekeeping, Eric. So hang tight real quick.
Sure.
And I'll just remind folks that are listening that, again, I appreciate the commitment that you guys make to the podcast and for using the Average Guy link out on Amazon. We continue to have a great month or great months since Christmas. You guys have done a great job. And we turn that around into what we call the Tech Scholarship Fund here at theaverageguy.tv. So if you're looking to review something, you know, Eric, I hated, as a podcaster, I hated begging companies. That's why I never ask you for coupon codes or anything for free. I don't do that. That's not my style. I don't beg businesses for, you know, or companies for hardware. What we started doing is we just said, hey, buy on Amazon, use the affiliate link, I'll turn that money around, and we'll buy things for people to review. So they submit items in if somebody wants to review something, which has been great because people need things, and they're like, well, hey, let me buy it, I'll review it, and then we just let them keep it. And it's one of those things that makes for a nice, kind of a nice synergy with the podcast. And so the guys have been really good about using the Amazon affiliate link. In fact, we did a RAV Power, which is kind of a cool story. We did a RAV Power USB, you know, you can put an SD card, USB card in it. It's got a little solid state drive in it. It's got a battery backup, and it's like one of those all-in-ones.
Yeah.
And it's like $45, and one of the guys bought that and reviewed it. And just last week, I had one of the listeners call in and say, hey, I'm sight impaired, and I'm looking for something where I can do audio off my iPhone and then move that up to Audioboo. And I'm looking for a way to get it off my phone so I can move it to my laptop and move that up to Audioboo. And that RAV Power was, I think, as a perfect, perfect item to be able to do that, because the phone will recognize it as a network location, and then you can just pull it off onto the laptop and move it up to Audioboo. He uses that a lot for some of the media stuff that he does. So thanks again for doing the Amazon affiliate link, theaverageguy.tv/Amazon. Let's see. So one of the guys says, what do I have to do to have more data for free? Oh, that's not a great question.
We've been known to give out data to bloggers.
Oh, really?
Written about us.
Oh, there you go. Well, pretty much, I think what you're saying is if you say nice things about mover.io, magical things can happen along the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so tweet about it, Facebook about it, put it on Pinterest, put it on Tumblr, write about it on your blog, It'd be great if somebody out there listening wanted to use the service, write about it, and post it out at theaverageguy.tv. I am sure there would be.
Yeah. Tell your boss about it when you go to the cloud.
There you go.
We'll migrate that SharePoint servers to somewhere else.
I work with SharePoint at work, and I just don't think of it at all as an enterprise. I do, because we use it in the enterprise, but I've always thought of it, we used it for 10 years, and I've always thought of it as behind the firewall, you know, never let that thing out in public type application. And then they get better with that stuff, but it's all good. Well, Eric, no more questions. You did a great job, so let me let you go.
Thanks.
And I'll stay around for a few minutes, but thank you for coming out tonight. And again, Eric with a C at mover.io.
Yep.
And you'll get back to them promptly. And if you have a big update and I call you back, will you come back on the program?
Yeah, absolutely. I had fun.
Awesome. And if you ever just want to geek out, like if you don't want to work and you want to talk about nerdy stuff like we do every single week, just drop me a note. I'll just have you on. You don't even have to talk about work.
Sure.
You can join us for the nerdy conversation. Just let me know. So, great.
Sure. Sounds good.
Thanks, Eric. Have a great evening. Yeah.
Thanks
for coming on. Appreciate it.
Oh, there is a question. Wait
a minute. What sort of behind-the-scenes costs are there involved in running Mover? Oh, you talked about that early. Behind-the-scenes costs, Amazon, they all charge you, right?
The biggest cost to a startup like ours, especially one that's working with any sort of SaaS application, is definitely people. So salaries are the biggest thing that we pay for. After that, it's probably our rent, and then infrastructure. And so we have dozens of servers running in Amazon, but we haven't exactly tried to optimize those yet. We've just been focusing on making sure they're running fast, not cheap.
Yeah.
But
Amazon sent me an email today that said they're dropping the prices.
Yeah, and S3 is like 3 cents a gigabyte now. That's crazy. And then the EC2 prices also dropped. It's getting pretty competitive out there, which is good for startups.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Well, and I'm hoping, you know, I use Azure. For some of, like, my own private blog is hosted on Azure. It was just something I could move over there. And Microsoft gives a ton of that stuff away for free, some of that stuff. And then their pricing's been pretty competitive. So I think we're going to see an overall, you know, dip in cloud-based computing and storage and stuff like that over the next couple months.
Yeah, well, I think you're always going to see the computing and infrastructure pieces being charged for. I actually wrote a blog post a week and a half ago, I think, about how I think that cloud storage or file sync share services like Dropbox and Box are ultimately just going to say unlimited data, because in the game of averages, it costs them next to nothing, and the one who's going to really dominate is going to be the one who has the best features and experience. And we're seeing that already, right? Google offers a terabyte for $10 a month. There's Tencent in China offering like 10 terabytes for free. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Dropbox coming out with something else, like infinite storage in the near future. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think it's just a matter before the gloves come off.
Yep.
And they all just say, all right, you can't create enough, you can't create enough data to really cause us any problems, we're going to just go ahead and give it away. I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. All right, well, with that, we'll close up. So,
okay.
Eric, thanks a ton, man. Have a good night. Just go ahead and hang up when you're done there. I'm going to talk to these guys for a few more minutes and then sign off myself. So, thanks.
Okay. Have a good one.
Take care. You too. Good night. All right, guys, I want to let you know that hang around for a few minutes. You know what? This is a first if you're still hanging around in the chat room, with the exception of the times that I was on. We were doing CES coverage. I've never podcasted by myself. So I was trying to get Andrew Morris in here to jump in and join the conversation, but he's disappeared. I think he went to a meeting, whatever. Some guys were busy. And so we'll wrap some things up here, just some community things going forward, some stuff that you guys need to know. And we'll call it a night. This might be the first podcast I've done in under an hour in quite a long time. If you had any questions, throw that in chat really quick. I mentioned if you're the first time you listen to the show, maybe you came in because you're interested in Mover.io. We do this podcast every Thursday night 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern here at theaverageguy.tv live. We have a fairly robust Facebook group as well. If you want to join us on the Facebook side, head out to facebook.com/group/theaverageguy, or easier, theaverageguy.tv/Facebook. That is out there for you as well. Follow me on Twitter, at Jay Collison. The Twitter account has picked up of late, and if you're following me on Twitter, it's the way I just went over 1,000, and I appreciate you following doing that. The chat room is saying thanks to Eric, and thanks indeed, and we've got more of these kinds of podcasts coming. I'll be setting more of these up here in the future. One of the ones I want to highlight that I'm working on, if you listened on Tuesday, if you listen to homeservershow.com, Dave McCabe, Kevin Schoonover, did a kind of a whole rundown on SmartThings, and I'm trying to run down the SmartThings CEO right now so we can have him just in a format like we just did and ask him some things. We'll bring Kevin back for that as well. Sent their PR a note, and they said they'd get back to me quickly, and I haven't heard from them back from them yet. So hopefully we'll get the SmartThings CEO on here and be able to ask them some questions. An interesting, SmartThings is an interesting alternative to Nest, because certainly when we looked at Nest, a lot of excitement about it in the beginning, very expensive, and now they're owned by Google, and be kind of interesting to see what happens with Nest. In fact, Mike Howard just mentioned this morning one of his Nest thermostats has given him some trouble, and he had to reboot it, which was pretty interesting stuff. Thinking about, oh man, I've got to reboot my thermostat. What if that thing got stuck in the open position? In his case, it got stuck in the closed position, which was off. Got kind of cold down in the basement, but in this case, what if it got stuck open? So we are working on that. I want to remind you, as soon as I'm done wrapping up here, head over to Surface Geeks. Dave is on, started about half an hour ago, and you can jump over Surface Geeks. Hey, Lopta just joined us. Welcome, Lopta. Good to have you out here. We're just wrapping things up here on the podcast, but Dave's on Surface Geeks, so surfacegeeks.net. And some good things happening over there tonight. Coming up here in the next couple weeks, of course, I've been promising a financial tech podcast. Mike had mentioned in chat he had to reboot his thermostat. It's just something you don't anticipate having to ever say, that I had to reboot my thermostat. But those things are getting that way, so you have to kind of watch it. Next week, I need to confirm this, but one of the guys that I work with and I will get together, and we're going to talk about a little bit about your finances and technology, so that should be kind of fun. If you're a listener to this or one of the regular hosts and you want to join me for that, shoot me a note. Be good to have you on here. I'm going to attempt on the 10th to do a financial tech. So Mike Howard and I did that. We talked about the Fitbit. So in 2 weeks, we're going to bring some of that discussion back, not necessarily around the Fitbit, but around some fitness and technology around fitness. You guys said to me you wanted to hear that from time to time, so we'll bring that back around. And then April 17th. Okay, you're not going to want to miss this. The week, tax week here in the United States. April 17th, Mike Howard, Seth White, and Tim, I can never remember Tim's last name, Kimperlink. Am I getting that right, Mike Howard? Kimperly? I think it's Kimperly, what it is. Kimperly, I think is what it is. And they're gonna come on, and we are going to talk about photography and what's the state of photography and technology. And so if you're an aspiring photographer and you don't listen to JPEG to RAW, you probably should. Yeah, Ken, we missed you the last couple weeks. We did miss you out here in chat. Good to have you back. But we've got that coming up. And then the week after that, David Washington from Microsoft will join us. And actually, David Washington, that'd be a great week to have the guy from SmartThings, because David Washington is big into SmartThings as well. David Washington's, of course, is a Microsoft evangelist out of the Minneapolis office, and it's always good to talk to him. The last time we had him on, we talked about the keyboard for the Surface 2 that he worked on, and that is now out there, I think. I think that the keyboard's out there. I haven't worked at my Surface in a while. And oh, good, I got the last one right. Sorry, I kind of had to go through, Tim, if you listen to the podcast, I apologize. Kind of had to go through a few iterations to get that right. And then May 1st, Michael Crump is back, and Michael's a good friend of the podcast, loves being on, a great developer, and so we'll talk about a little bit about development, tech, and those kinds of things going on. So you see, we've got a pretty good schedule. Let me throw this out to you. So if you've made it this far in the podcast, you're probably one of the most dedicated and committed and engaged podcast listener. If there is a small business, if there is a startup that you'd like me to cover, and you got a contact for me, that would be very, very helpful. send that information over to me, and I'd love to track that down and see if we can't get them on. So small business, startup, around technology, something that you're interested in, somebody doing that. I'm kind of trying to niche down into that over the next year or so. So shoot me a note. Let me know. Jim@theaverageguy.tv. It would be great to have you do that. And, of course, you can follow all the things I do at Gallup, coaching@gallup.com. No, that's the email address you would say. You would go to coaching.gallup.com to watch all those things that I do over there. All right, well, we're going to cap it at an hour tonight. And I've, at this point, I'm out of stuff to talk about. I will remind you that we do this. Oh, one more thing I should talk about. Drobo dropped their price. So if you were ever thinking about buying a Drobo, you can now get a 4-bay for $349. And so I've posted that out in the Facebook group. You can go out to theaverageguy.tv/Facebook and join that group. And the deal is posted out there. $350 for the Drobo 10 Black. I'm expecting, is Tim still out there? Oh, Tim bolted for Surface Geeks. I bet he's over there right now. And so $349. And available on the Facebook page. Well, you can get it anywhere. You can just Google it if you want. But it's out and available. And I don't think that's the last we're going to hear of Drobo coming out with some stuff. So, all right, we're out here every Thursday. Thank you, Lopta. Good, glad that you covered. Not quite enough dollar signs out there in the chat room. We do this each and every Thursday night. We got a busy schedule coming up over the next 5 or 6 weeks. So hope to have you back out here Thursday at 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out theaverageguy.tv live. Head over to one of the guys that we just talked about in the podcast just tweeted me just a minute ago. The guy I was saying that had the vision impairment. He looked at that unit we talked about. He said it might be promising. That's that RAV power unit. I think that's going to work for him. So I'm excited to do that. He just tweeted me. We're out here every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern. At theaverageguy.tv live. Love to hear from you. And with that, we'll end the broadcast. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. And we will see you back here next week. Good night, everybody.